Take your Bibles and turn them to the Gospel of Matthew, and also turn them to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 5 and Hebrews chapter number 6. And while you're turning, I want to remind you of the items that we have for sale here, King James Devotional Bible. You can read through the Bible in a year, including the Psalms and the Proverbs every day, $15. I have that for you as well. Also, A Word to the Wise takes you through the Proverbs every day of the year, and that is for $15 as well. That's a devotional. And also, Rooted in Christ, and that's a devotional, 366 scriptural devotionals for every day. That's $15 as well. And also, A Daily Word, and this was one of Paul Chappell's first devotionals that he did. All of these are 366 days. They'll take you through the different scripture areas in the Bible. The Proverbs only takes you through the Proverbs. And then, of course, the devotional Bible takes you through the entire Bible. If you want to have that for a gift for a new year for someone, please see Bev, and she'll get you those. I think we only have about 8 of those each, and so make your request known to her very early before she gets sold out. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter number 5. We're ending the yearly theme of shining God's light with all of His might. We'll take a little bit today, and then a little bit more on Tuesday, and then the next Sunday, finish that out. That'll be the end of the year review, and then we'll be getting into the Psalms, and I'm so excited about the Psalms. Amen. Psalms for the soul is our theme for next year, but right now we're just winding down the year, and today's topic is, I would say, the most fitting of topics in dealing with this review period, and you'll see what I'm talking about here in just a minute. Everybody at Matthew chapter 5, say amen. Any omies? All right, y'all didn't have a Sunday school, so y'all should be nice and hungry for the Word of God, right? Say, no, preacher, just some dessert would be fine. Amen. All right. Read with me starting in verse number 13. I'm going to read all the way down to 16. Here we go. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And that's been our theme all year long, shining God's light with all of our might. And the review that we're going to do today is on the second message that I preached early on in the year. So turn to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. We've already looked at shining God's light with a going away view last week, and now this week we're going to review shining God's light with a ministerial view, and read with me, if you would, verse number 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Say, why do I say that's one of the most fitting sermons for the end of the year? Because all throughout the year, I think we've endeavored to minister for the Lord and to do the work of the Lord. And maybe, just maybe, we've not seen the fruit of the labors. Maybe, just maybe, we've not seen the end of our work, or not seen what would come of our work. And let me remind you that God has not forgotten what you've done in 2014. Amen. He has a very, very good memory. And you may see the fruit of your labors in 2015. You may see it come the end of the year. You may see it in 2016. But I can assure you this, that God knows what you have done. God knows what you have been through. God knows what He is wanting you to do. And God knows when He's going to reward you. Our job is just to be faithful, just to be faithful. God never asked a whole lot of us. He said, just be faithful. Amen. And so the last message for the year is going to be, I hope, an encouragement to you. Just remember what we talked about early on in the year, that as you go through life and as you go through every Sunday and Wednesday and Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday working for God, God hasn't forgotten. God sees, God knows, and God understands. And he's going to reward you when the time is right. Amen. Maybe today you're struggling. Maybe you're just down. Maybe you look back over the year and you say, man, it just didn't go the way I planned it. Things didn't happen the way I thought they would happen. May I remind you that we have a faithful God. And God knows. And God sees. And God will reward if we just be faithful. Father, bless now in the message this morning. God, I do pray that it might be an encouragement to all of our hearts. Lord, as we look back on what you have done and what you're doing, and Lord, what you're looking to do in our lives, I pray that we might be refreshed in our souls, refreshed in our minds, refreshed in our hearts about a faithful God who knows where we're at. Lord, you know what we're going through, and you know what you're wanting to do in our lives. And Lord, as we reflect back on 2014, for some it went by very, very fast, and others went by slow. But Lord, we know it has gone by, and now we're at the closing end of it. And many have ministered in your name. Many have done works of righteousness. And Lord, we're looking to see you repay. And God, I pray that as we look at this message today, that we might be mindful that you've not forgotten us at all. You said that, Lord, we are as the apple of your eye. Thank you so much, Lord, that we are that close to you and that personal to you and that loving to you, that you care so much about us, Lord. We know we don't deserve the mercies that you give us. We don't deserve the favor that you give us. But, Lord, we're such grateful people that recipients of that. Lord, I pray that we might show that today and not give up, Lord, not turn back, but continue going forward. Even as the song said, my soul is resting in your care. Work in us, work through us. If there's one today without Jesus Christ, encourage that soul to reach out in faith and be born again before it's everlasting too late. Thank you for loving us. Now I'm blessed in the song that Mrs. Dawson will sing. Encourage our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Of grace, if God never speaks.
Thank you, Carmen. Appreciate that blessing, message, and song. Amen. Settled at the cross. Amen. All we had to do to find out how much God loves us is to look at the cross and how much Christ cared for us. Amen. Just look at the cross. And there's always that symbol of God's love towards us. Amen. I'm so grateful for that love. Amen. Well, you know, this last sermon of the year on a Sunday, I do trust will be a blessing to you. And I know just looking back and reflecting on the notes of the year, you never know starting a year out how it's going to turn out. You kind of have, hopes and dreams and wishes. And if you're like me, I'm a planner. You plan for certain things and you kind of lay the plans out there and then you start trudging along. And it seems like God always throws you a detour. You go a little to the right, a little bit to the left, and it doesn't quite go the way you planned it. But looking back over the theme for the year, shining God's light with all of our might, I pray that our goal was to shine our light as brightly as we could, even though we may have gone through some hard times. How many saw hard times this year? I know I did. Amen. How many had a smooth year? No hard times at all for you. I mean, it's just a piece of cake. Amen. Nobody? I'm amazed. Amen. Job said we're born unto trouble as the sparks fly up. Amen. And so we know that trouble is going to come. But it's how we handle the troubles, how we go through the trouble and still shine as light. You know, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And so we want to make sure that even though we go through tough times, we're shining. And we're shining brightly, and that's what we've talked about all year long, is shining our light in different areas. Last week, we looked at shining God's light with all our might with a going-away view, and I had warned you that there are going to be some circumstances that are going to come into your life that are going to cause you to want to go away. And we looked at that last week, and I said you could go away and be sitting right here, and it's so possible because you sit, and if we're not focused on purpose to say, I'm going to pay attention, I'm going to listen, the devil will have something for you to think about. Amen. How many of y'all think about a football game already? How many are in the playoffs already? Amen. How many think about what you're going to eat when you get home? Amen. Several. Amen. Some of y'all think about catching the blue light special, the shops that are on sale, the toys that are on sale, the candy so you can get it and eat it. Amen. Get the toys and save them for next year, whatever. But when you come through the house of God's doors, you've got to say, on purpose, I'm going to focus on Christ. On purpose, I'm going to focus on the Word of God. Yes, there are things out there that can captivate my attention. I understand that. I know that they're there. But when I come through these doors, it's time to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to say His name is wonderful. It's time to say, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, we adore Thee. It's time to say, Lord, check my mind, check my heart, get myself in the focus and in the position where I can get something from You, because I've got a wicked world out there that I've got to face tomorrow. I've got a wicked world I've got to face on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And God, I need something. And so when you come in, if you're not careful, we can go away and be sitting right here in our minds and our methods and our mentality. And we talked about that last year. And I'm afraid that if I ask how many of us went away in our mind throughout this year, sitting right here, several hands would go up. Probably all the hands might even go up. Amen. Because it's so easy to do. It is. You got to fight against that. Amen. And so we looked at that last week. Jesus asked this question in John 6:67. Will ye also go away? And so we looked at how we can be here physically, but gone spiritually. How in our methods we could have more technology, but less spirituality in our mentality, less witnessing and more perishing, less prayerfulness and more carefulness, less abandonment of self and more contentment with self. And we looked at that last week. This week, though, we're going to look back at our ministry. What did we do for God? And how did we do on what we did for God? Notice when you come down here to chapter 6 in verse number 9. The writer of Hebrews starts off with, but beloved. But denotes a contrary thought previous to what was listed before in the previous verses. Why is that but there? You notice in verses 1 and 3, he's talking about what they should do. Verse 1, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go into perfection. He said, you know what? You need to go on. Notice verse 3. And this will we do. He says what you should do is go on. And then verses 4 through 6, he talks about what they should know. Notice verse 4. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, put him to an open shame. He says, you know, what you should know is that if you don't accept Jesus Christ as Savior, if you just kind of taste that he is good, and there's nothing else for you. There is no other Messiah. There's no other Lord. There's no other Jesus. There's no other salvation. This is it. This is it. There's nothing else for you. Amen. It's like coming to the dinner table and the kids taste of the green smoothies. In my house, that is something. And then there's one Joshua who doesn't care for the green smoothies. And so he tastes that and he says, you know what? I don't want that. We say, well, there is nothing else for you, son. You have nothing else. And guess what? He'll starve because there is absolutely nothing else. Amen. And so that's what he's saying. There is nothing else besides Christ there. Verse 9, then he comes down to what they should know when he says, but beloved. He begins to give a term of endearment. He's turning from admonishment to admiration. Our dear ones, in other words, he's saying, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. He says, you know what? You're not like some that I've mentioned before. You are going on. You do want to go forward. You do want to do right. I am encouraged by what I see. By the way, I trust that you're encouraged by what you see looking back on 2014. Yes, it's not all been good. I'm not going to say it's all been good. But you should still be able to look back on 2014 and say, you know what? It ain't been all bad either. But beloved, he says, hey, it ain't been all bad. I had some admonition for some folks there, but I also had some admiration. I'm encouraged by what I see. Looking ahead to 2015, I'm encouraged by what I see. I see a lot of great changes. I see a lot of things that are going to happen in 2015 for Shining Light Baptist Church. I see the leadership going in a direction that's going to glorify God. I see us expanding in ways that we've not expanded before. I see the membership growing. I see new people getting saved. And I see us going further than we've ever gone before. And so looking back, I see great things. And so you should be able to look back as well and say, you know what? Yeah, I had some hard times. You know what? God's been faithful. God's been good. Even though looking back and I did struggle a little bit, I may have gone away a little bit in my mind, but God's still been faithful. Hey, I had my ministry. I may not have done everything I should have done in my ministry, but God's still been faithful. Souls have been saved. The kids are still growing up. Amen. Life's still going on. I still have my job. I still have my health. May not be the healthiest, but life is going on. It's not been as bad as I thought it was. You know, when you're in the midst of a storm, it seems pretty bad, doesn't it? I mean, it's like the worst disaster that you ever had. But when you come out of that storm and you look back, you think, man, that storm wasn't that bad. Wasn't that bad. And I was bad when I was in it. But it's not that bad. So he looks back and he says, you know what? I'm reminded of you that you have the things that accompany salvation. And then he gets into verse number 10. And that's where our encouragement is going to come from. Notice, first of all, we looked at earlier in the year, be mindful of God's timeliness in ministering. Be mindful of God's timeliness in ministering. It says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. God is not unrighteous to forget. Aren't you glad God has a good memory when it comes to our good works? And aren't you glad God has a bad memory when it comes to our sin? He said, as far as the east is from the west, he's removed your transgressions from you. I'm glad when it comes to my sin, it's covered under the blood. I'm glad, Mrs. Dawson, it was settled at the cross. I'm glad when it comes to my sin, he doesn't want to bring that up all the time. He says, hey, look, that's covered in the blood. It's under the cross. I remember that no more. I'm glad when it comes to that. He doesn't remember my sin. Why? It's been covered at the cross. But he says, when it comes to my works, he knows what I've done. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. The Galatians says it this way in chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And verse 9. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Preacher, I'm ready to faint. I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to quit. I can't go another day. God knows exactly how much you can take. Aren't you glad he does? Amen. I remember when I would work out with my exercise and I was running and running and running, I say, I can't go another step. And in my mind, I'm ready to quit. And in my mind says, you can take another step. My body says, no, you can't. My muscles say, yes, you can. And my mind says, yes, you can. But my body says, no, you can't. And it's simply mind over matter. It's not a problem with my muscles. It's not a problem with my body. The problem was with my breathing. Do you know that you need oxygen to breathe? And it's difficult to run fast breathing like this. You need to take deep breath. Get some oxygen in. When you get oxygen in your muscles, why do you think the football players go on the sideline and do like this? You know what they're taking in? Oxygen. And so I learned something. If I got my breathing down, I could actually run a lot further. And so it really was nothing wrong with my body or my muscles or my mind. It was my breathing technique. Once I got that down, I could run a little bit further. Not much, but a little bit. Amen. Hey, when it comes to your work, oftentimes we can go a little bit further in our work than we think we can. He says, God is not unrighteous. We're going to get it in the end. Sowing and reaping, amen. They oftentimes will come later on, not early on, amen. By the way, a lot of the football players do their conditioning off season. So that when the season starts, guess what? They're ready. A lot of your preparation and your work comes off duty or before you get here. What am I talking about? Prayer, preparation. Oftentimes, a lot of your time is spent on your knees praying before you actually get here. Hey, the time that I'm doing now is nothing. I'm going to be here about 30, 40 minutes, amen. Most of my time was done in preparation already, in praying and getting ready and studying and going over my notes. All that time is spent down to get in here and do about 30 to 40 minutes of preaching. Where's my preparation done before I get here? Hey, when it comes down here, he says, God's timeliness is on time. He's mindful of our time. He's mindful of our work. And we just have to be mindful to keep doing our work. Amen. Notice what he says. God is not unrighteous to forget your works and labor of love. So point number one, we looked at mindful of God's timeliness. God has not forgotten. By the way, when you look back on 2014, don't you sometimes look back and say, God forgot everything I did. God forgot about my prayers. He forgot about my sowing. He forgot about my weeping. He forgot about my labor. He forgot about this. He forgot about that. God, I don't see the results. I'm ready to quit. Sometimes you're ready to quit. Pastor, why when you teach those teenagers and you don't see the results right away, don't you kind of get ready to quit? And you say, man, I'm not seeing the results yet. The Homer boys still haven't started ushering yet. I've been on them since 2013. They said 2015 is a new year. Isn't that right, boys? Amen. Sometimes you think God's forgotten your labor. Amen. Devin, when you put all that time into the choir and it's time to sing, you say, I think they forgot everything I taught them. You're ready to give up and say, I'm quitting. But God's not forgotten. Sam, you see the singles not married yet, and you think, where are those single men at to come in and get them married off? God, I've been praying for single men. Where they at? Waiting for the single girls to start praying for them. That's where they're at. And sometimes you look and you think, God got you forgotten. But God's got a timetable. And if we're not careful, we can forget that God remembers that he is never late. He's always on time. Then we looked at this. Be mindful not just of God's timeliness in ministering, but mindful of our productiveness in ministering. Our productiveness. Notice what he says on there. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. He talks about your work and your labor of love. We broke that down into two sections. First, your work. Mindful of our productiveness in work. Work there means compensable work or has the idea of toil as an occupation that is able to receive payment. In other words, we expect to get paid back from God for what we're doing.
Now, it's not always monetary, but I expect that what I'm doing, God, I'm doing this because I expect to see these results. Devin has practice because he expects to see these results of singing. I teach a class because I expect to see this area of Christian maturity. I usher and I teach children because I expect that the parents can learn the word of God without the children there. I keep nursery because I expect the parents can learn the word of God without their children around their ankles. And so it comes with the idea of work as in I'm doing this and I expect to see a result. Says, God's not unrighteous to forget your work. He knows what you're doing. He sees your labor. And he knows what you're doing. The idea of I'm expecting to see something. I'm expecting to see a payback. But there's some conditions. Notice over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hold your fingers there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Because it says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about rewards that we receive in heaven. But the work is done here on earth. Notice he says down here in verse number 9, we're laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the foundation. It says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. He says, you can build with some things. Gold, silver, and precious stones you can build with, but also wood, hay, stubble. He says this, every man's work, what did he say over there in Hebrews? God is not unrighteous to forget your work. Every man's work should be made manifest or apparent, or it will appear. So as for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, or the good deeds that you've done, he says, it's going to be tried by fire, and it will be revealed of what sort it is or what manner it is. Or in other words, what's your motive for doing what you do? In other words, God's saying, if you're not doing it for my glory and my honor, it's not going to stand the test of the fire. In other words, why do I preach? In other words, why do you teach? In other words, why do you sing? In other words, why do you usher? In other words, why do you play an instrument? Why do you sing? Why do you lead a choir? Why do you keep the nursery? Why? Is it for the glory of God? If it's for the glory of God, he says, it'll stand the test of fire. Because that's the motive that God is looking for. Is it for me? Is it for my honor or is it for the praise of man? You got to ask yourself, why do I do what I do? I told you last week, I preach for God. I don't preach for anybody else's glory. I'm not looking for accolades. I'm not looking for platitudes. I'm not looking for kind words and sweet talks. And I'm not looking for that. Now, if you give it to me, praise God. But guess what? If you don't give it to me, it's not going to stop my preaching because that's not what I'm doing. I have an audience in heaven that I'm working for. Amen. I'm looking to hear, well done, thou good and faithful child. And so every ministry that you do, every work that you do should be for the glory of God. He says in verse 13, every man's work should be made manifest. It's going to be apparent. It's going to be open. For the day shall declare it. By the way, that's judgment day. The judgment seat of Christ. Because it shall be revealed by fire. God's going to put the fire of your motives to it. And everything that's not done for Jesus Christ, he says, is going to be burned up. Because it wasn't done for Christ. And I have to be honest with you. There's going to be some works that I've done that don't get burned up. Because I didn't do it with the right motive. I didn't do it with the right spirit. I didn't do it with the right heart. I got to be honest. Some things I didn't do it with the right heart. Not the right motive. I did it for people, to be a people pleaser, to make people happy, or to do it for people, or to get the people's praise like King Saul. I've got to be honest, some things I know will be burnt up, so I've got to work extra hard to recoup some things. I don't know about you, but in 2015, maybe you have to work a little harder to recoup some things that when you check back, your motives in 2014 maybe weren't right. Maybe you say, that's going to get burnt up because I didn't do that for God. Maybe you say, well, you know, I didn't do that for God. I didn't do this for God. I didn't do that for God. That I did for God. That I did. I can count on that. I can count on that. But this I can't. You may be a better man than I am, but I know some things that I did aren't going to get any kind of accolades at all. It's going to get burned up. He says, verse 14, if any man's work, his duties that he's done, abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. He said it's going to be a recompense to you. You'll get paid for it. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. He said, your works may be burnt up, but you won't be. You might suffer loss for what you thought you had, but guess what? You'll be saved if you're truly saved. If you're truly born again, he says, that will not be taken away, but your works, you did that, and you said you were doing it for me, but were you really doing it for me? And so when you look at this area here, be mindful of our productiveness in ministering. Our work is going to be tried by fire. And if what we do, we're not doing it for Jesus Christ, let's change our motives now. Don't go into 2015 with the same motives that you had in 2001. Say, look, I'm working for a new master. I'm working for the Lord. Before I was working for man, I was trying to be a man pleaser, but now I'm working for God. I want to do this for God. I want to do this for the glory of God. I want God to get the glory. If man says amen, praise God. But if they don't say amen, I'm not working for man. I'm working for God, and he is who I'm pleasing. And it's him I'm working for. See, God is not unrighteous to forget. His timeliness is not in question. We've got to make sure that our productiveness in ministering is also in check as well. Go back to Hebrews chapter 6. Because he uses two words. He says work, and then he says labor of love. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. So be mindful of our productiveness, our compensable work, but then our labor of love, that's non-compensable work. The labor has the idea here of non-compensable. In other words, it's labor or work that you don't look to get paid for. It's done in love. By the way, husbands, how many of you expect to get paid by your wives for loving her? None of us? You have a rich wife, it is, amen. What am I saying? We don't work. We don't do our labor of love for our wives to get paid. We do it because we love them. We're not looking to get paid. Now, rub my feet or, you know, scratch my back. Amen. We can work with that. Run my bath water. Amen. We can work with that. I was doing some studies yesterday, and Faith came up. Mommy wants to know if you need anything. What was that? Hey, she's like, look, this is a labor of love. I want to see if you need. I want to help you out. You worked hard for me. No, I just said that. What is that? It's non-recompensable. I don't expect to get paid. It's a labor of love. I do this because I love you. And because I love you, I'm not looking to get paid. This is out of my heart. By the way, for God so loved the world that he gave, out of the love of his heart. And so when you look at these two areas, work and labor of love, they're totally different. Work is compensable. Labor of love is non-compensable. I don't expect to get paid for that. I'm not looking for a payment. I'm looking for enjoyment, not payment. Amen. I enjoy doing this. It makes me happy. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says it this way, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, notice that, and labor of love. Two totally different things. One's a work that's compensable and one is non-compensable. Labor of love and patience of hope. The same way a parent labors for their child. You don't expect to get paid back for all the dirty diapers that you changed. You don't expect to get paid back for all the sheets that you washed that were soiled. You don't expect to get paid back for all the holy socks and the holy knees that you mend and donned. You don't expect to get paid for going shopping. Well, they eat, amen, that's your payment right there, amen. But you don't expect to get paid for all the things that you do for your children and helping them with their education. You don't expect, it's a labor of love. You do it because you love them. It says, remembering your work and your labor of love. So the Hebrew writer is saying, be mindful of your productiveness in ministering, your work and your labor of love. But then he doesn't stop there. Go back to verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget. That's God's timeliness. And that's falling off stuff. Amen. And your labor, work and labor of love, that's our productiveness. But then our faithfulness in ministering. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, and of which ye have showed toward his name. Our faithfulness in ministering. The word minister there is the same word used for deacon. Has the idea of being a waiter or an attendant. So in other words, the idea of our ministering is done for Jesus' sake and in his name. John Wesley said, only one life will soon pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. What's it done? It's done in his name. So looking back, Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto them who are the household of faith. So the first part of that, our time, God's timeliness. The second part, our productiveness. The third part, our faithfulness. Showed is an action word to his name. Showed for Jesus' sake. By the way, you know when you give someone the gospel, it's for Jesus' sake and for their salvation? Because Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. It's for Jesus' sake, but it's for their salvation. Aren't you glad somebody shared the gospel with you? Be it a mom, be it a dad, be it a sister, be it a brother, be it a nephew, an aunt, a Sunday school teacher, a preacher. You're glad someone shared. He said, you showed this in my name. You did this in my name. In other words, I'm mindful of your faithfulness in ministering. You did this. Not only did you do this, notice lastly, be mindful of our steadfastness in ministering. He says, which ye have showed toward his name in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Notice the two words that he used. Have ministered, past tense. Look back on 2014 and God sees everything that you have done. He's seen everything that you've done in 2014. For that matter, in 2013. For that matter, 12 and 11. And by the way, every time you confess your sins, guess what? Far as the east is from the west. But every time you do a good work, it's put in the bank of heaven. Don't you like God's economy of things? My sins, I can confess it. And as far as the east from the west, he says to be remembered no more. But my good works, hey, every good work is stored in the bank of heaven. I like that. If you just confess it. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all. Confess it. But if I his name, beat that. Minister this and minister in the play. You're not, you will. It's now. Why? Persecution. Lose. Hebrews is saying, I'm difficult. I've seen what you've promised to going on. He sees your righteousness. He's ministered labor of love in heaven. He did not promise tomorrow. He says, and we do same diligence to the full assurance of the hope until. However, if you get the future, be diligent to the end. Keep doing it. You know who will be in the corner? For you. When everybody else lets you down, when everybody else drops you, when everybody says how bad of a job you're doing, when everybody else doesn't appreciate you, when everybody else says, I don't care, when everybody else says enough is never enough, Jesus is still the one back there cheering for you. Well done. Well done, good and faithful child. Well done. I see what you've done. I see what you're doing. Keep going on to the end. Full assurance. Hope to the end. I see what you're doing. Well done. When everybody else stops applauding you. No one else wants to give you accolades. No one else wants to tell you how good of a job you did. Jesus still sees. Jesus still knows. Jesus still understands. He says, diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end. He says, be not slothful, verse 12, but the followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He said, if you do get the future, be diligent in it. If we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Looking back over 2014, I'm sure you've seen hard times. But I can assure you, you've seen more good times than you've seen hard times. Oh, yes, an item may have carried out a longer period of time than something else. Oh, yes, an illness may have carried out a longer time than something else. Oh, yes, a thought on your mind, a situation that's difficult may have weighed on your mind a lot longer. But I tell you what, it's nothing compared to eternity. It's nothing compared to how long you've been alive. It's nothing compared to the year that you've had and the year before that and the year before that. And the writer of Hebrews is encouraging them, hey, be mindful God's timeliness. Be mindful of your productiveness. Be mindful of your faithfulness. Be mindful of your steadfastness. Don't give up. God sees. God hears. God knows. God understands. Does it get tough? Yeah, it does. You know, I wish I could sit here and say 2015 is going to be a bed of roses for everybody. And I could say that. But you know what roses have? Thorns. And so if you're laying on that, you got a pretty hard bed to lay on. Now, I don't know about you. I don't like laying on thorns, but I like roses. I don't like getting stuck and pricking my fingers, but I like roses. I don't like when I have to buy roses and assemble them myself because I prick myself. And I've done that on occasion. It's not something that I like doing, but I like roses. And guess what? If you like roses, got to get the thorns. Got to get the thorns. You know, the Christian life is a life that's not an easy life. But nonetheless, it's a life that God says, I see the timeliness. I'll be there. It's still a life where God says, keep your productiveness in your work and your labor of love. I see what you're doing. But it's also our faithfulness. He says, I see what you've done in my name for my glory. And our steadfastness, he said, you've done this. You've ministered, and you do minister. Hope unto the end. Assurance. Diligence. Keep going. I see. You know, as you look down at the end of the road, I'm glad that Jesus is there. But I'm glad that as I'm ministering, he is here. And I'm glad as I look back, I see he was there. And that encourages me that he'll always be with me. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. All of us can look back on 2014 and say, you know what? If I had to pin it out, I probably wouldn't have pinned it this way. But God looks at it and said, it couldn't be any other way to affect what I'm trying to affect in your life. These Hebrews, if they had it their way, I'm sure they would say, no, we don't want persecution. No, we don't want this. But God had to look down and say, you know what, it couldn't be any other way. Couldn't be any other way. You know, I look at my life in 2014, and I didn't plan on falling down the stairs after my surgery. But God knew it needed to be that way. I didn't plan on leaving in July just to have Isadora die. But God knew it had to be that way. I didn't plan on all the hardships and all the events that happened in 2014 that in my life and in my mind said, Lord, I didn't need that. God said, yes, you did. Yes, you did. Just remember my timeliness. Remember your productiveness. Remember your faithfulness and your steadfastness. Remember what you have done. Remember what you're doing. And keep on doing it until I come. You know, Jesus may come in 2015. If he comes, will you be ready? Do you have enough work stored up in heaven? Have you looked back and said, you know what, Lord, I didn't do that for the right motives. I need to get busy. Start getting busy. Maybe you've got some sins that you need to confess. By the way, he says, I'll cast it as far as the east is from the west. But he says, your works, I'll store them in heaven. And you'll be rewarded when I come back. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to have more of a labor of love. I don't know about you, that makes me want to have more of a work. One I do because I love the Lord. One I do because I want to see results. I preach because I want to see results. I teach because I want to see results. I minister because I want to see results. But I have a labor and love because I love my Lord. And I could care less if anybody thanks me for that. Because I don't do it for you, I do it for him. I pray that as you go into 2015, you'll have work. You want to see results in people's lives, but you'll also have a labor of love. You say, God, if nobody else does it, I'll do it because I love you, because you saved me. Nobody else does it, I'll do it. because I love you. How about it today? Before we go into the invitation, are you saved today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you died right now, are you sure that heaven is your home? Or do you have doubts about that? You know, I'd hate to close out this year in a service where someone was afforded the opportunity to get saved and they never got saved. One of the reasons why I preach, other than edifying the body of the Christ and to see the believers to grow and mature, is that people could get saved. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, if you've never embraced the love of God in Jesus Christ, you never recognize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you never recognize the wages of those same sins is death, then today is for you. You need to repent of your sins. What is that? Turn from your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Bible put it, faith toward God and repentance toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As you come upon this last Sunday, if you've never, ever received Christ as Savior, receive him today. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Lord, as we close out this Sunday, Lord, I pray you speak to every heart. Lord, we might not be weary in our well-doing. Lord, we would have that ministerial view. We would recognize that, Lord, you know the timeliness of our schedule. Lord, you know when we will get rewarded. Lord, you know exactly how much work and how much labor of love we've done. Lord, you know our faithfulness and our steadfastness. Lord, and I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice can look back on 2014 and look and review their works, their labor of love. Lord, that which was not done for Christ, help them to confess it, forsake it, and Lord, may they turn to Jesus for their labor of love and their forgiveness of sin and count you faithful. Lord, help us to recognize, you said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Help us, Lord, to continue on when we don't see the results, through difficulties, through dark times, or through hard times, when we just can't seem to go on. Show us, Lord, that you will bear our burdens and you will carry us. Lord, for that man, that woman, that boy or girl here without Christ today, let them not leave without getting it settled. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many will be honest today? Say, preacher, if I died right now today, if the day was my last day of work for Jesus Christ, I know that I'd go to heaven when I die. I'm assured of that just as sure as I am today. If I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. You'd raise your hand and testimony to Almighty God. I know. If I died right now, I know I'm going to heaven. No doubt in my mind. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm born again. I know that. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You'd raise that hand, testimony of God. Amen. Hands going up all over. You may put them down. How many would say, preacher, I don't have that complete assurance. I don't have the full assurance. I hope I go to heaven. I'm not absolutely sure, but would you pray for me that I can get it settled and get it right? Anyone like that at all? You'd raise your hand saying, preacher, pray for me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died right now to go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Please pray for me. Man, woman, boy, or girl all across this room, raise that hand. Father, you see the hands. You see the hearts. You know those that have given testimony of being born again. And Lord, unlike me, you see the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl that's here. You know who's truly yours and who's truly not. Lord, that one that's truly not but that's troubled, that did not want to raise their hand, that did not have that confidence, Lord, impress it upon that man, that woman, that boy or girl's heart to get saved today for it's everlasting too late. Help them to take that step of faith. Walk down an old-fashioned down to an old-fashioned altar and say, preacher, I'm not sure about that. I go to heaven. I'm concerned. And help them get it right. Lord, for Christians, help them to come to an old-fashioned altar and thank you for 2014. Praise you for your timeliness. Lord, pray for their productiveness, their steadfastness, their faithfulness in 2015, if you should tarry. And Lord, may their works and their labor of love improve, and help them to pray that, Lord, they could see you in all that they do in 2015. Thank you for ministering in us and through us in 2014. And thank you for forgiveness of sin and heaven as our home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Devin's going to sing a hymn of invitation. God spoke in your heart. Maybe you need to come this morning as the piano plays. Maybe you just need to come and thank God for 2014. Maybe you need to thank him for the things that he's done. Maybe the things you've seen. Maybe thanking him for a trial that you've gone through. Or maybe you just need to be saved today. We're here to help you. Here to encourage you in your walk with Christ. Maybe some things you need to lay at the altar for someone else. Help someone else in their faith along the way in 2015. Maybe you say, preacher, I was willing to give up and sacrifice for Jesus' sake, but I've not seen him work yet. Oh, don't give up, friend. Don't give up. Be encouraged. The song is, my life is yours to control. My life is yours to control. Maybe you need to lay a loved one at the altar. Say, God, work in that loved one's life who's ready to quit, ready to give up, ready to go astray. Would work in that husband, that wife, that child. What is it? Would you let God have his way in your life? God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you have shown toward his name. Our productiveness, our faithfulness, our steadfastness, God's timeliness, God's never late. Maybe you say, preacher, I need to pray that God would help me to hold out in 2015 better than I did in 2014. Would you pray that prayer? Preacher, I want to see more souls get saved that I lead to Christ. Would you pray that prayer? Preacher, I want to be steadfast. Would you pray that prayer? I want to increase my work, my labor of love. Would you pray that prayer this day? I want to be diligent. Would you pray that prayer? My life, Lord, is yours to control. Far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions from us. ...2015 is just around the corner. Looking back, what do you see? What do you see? Shining God's light with all of our might, with a ministerial view, seeing our ministry the way God sees it. Father, thank you so much for our lives being yours to control. Lord, though at times we try to control it ourselves, thank you that ultimately, Lord, you override and do your will with or without our cooperation. Lord, thank you that we can look back over 2014 and say that it's not been all bad. We've seen better days than we've seen worse days. Lord, thank you. Looking back, we can see souls saved. We can see spiritual maturity. We can see things added to our faith. Lord, we can also look back and see hardships and hard times as well. Lord, thank you that through it all, you've been with us. Thank you, through it all, you've never left us nor forsaken us. Lord, just like Israel of old, they thought that they were forsaken at times when they just had to go through a period of trial, a period of testing, a period of refining, and sometimes a period of chastening. Or as we look back, we know that we probably have gone through a little bit of all of that. Lord, help us to come forth as gold, as Job said, when he's tried me, I will come forth as gold. And help us to go into 2015 to shine brightly as the shining lights you've called us to be, both collectively as a church and then individually as individuals. Lord, help us to be mindful of your timeliness. You know when to reward. In our productiveness, in our work, our labor of love, that which we do because we want to see results, that which we do because we love you. Lord, in our diligence and our steadfastness, help us to be assured that we can go on in the name of Jesus. We can go on in the Holy Spirit's power. We can go forth doing that which you've called us to do. So, Lord, minister in us, through us this last Sunday of the year. Lord, as we come back next week, if you should tarry, help us to be ready to finalize these last days of shining God's light with all of our might. And to be ready for the Psalms for the soul. God, I'm looking to a productive year. But I'm mindful that you still want to do some things with me in this year before the close. Lord, so help us to make things right where things are wrong. Confess where confession is necessary. Restoration where restoration is necessary. But most of all, glorifying you in all that we think, say, and do. If there's one lost today, save that man, woman, boy, or girl in Jesus' name. Max, Pastor, why did you give us